The sermon was preached on Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2021. In it, I try to meditate on how Jesus' resurrection speaks to Mary Magdalene's tears. This is why it's called Mary's Tears. I speak to you in the name of the one who loves us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is a wondrous day. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the great proclamation of the church that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death by making all things new. This is the good news of the gospel. And in what important sense, I could just stop here. Alleluia! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia! There is nothing more to say. Now, I'm guessing you probably laughed a little bit because, of course, you know I'm going to say something more. But what I'm going to say is not to add anything to the proclamation of the resurrection. That is complete. Rather, it is to answer a question. Like, imagine you go to a presentation where somebody speaks and afterwards there's a question and answer period. And maybe you were there and you raise your hand and you say, "You know, that was really great, thank you. But there's a part I don't understand. Can you answer a question for me?" So today I imagine a person saying, "Steve, I do believe all that. I am grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful for the resurrection of Jesus and this good news. But there's a part I don't understand. Can you answer a question for me? It's been bugging me. If Jesus has conquered sin and death, and he's making all things new, shouldn't something be really different about the world? Why are we celebrating Easter on Zoom now twice in a row? I don't know how to put this, but shouldn't the world be better? I mean, maybe not perfect, but if Jesus did everything you said he did, shouldn't it be a whole lot closer?" And I would answer, that is a good question, and I mean it. Because it gets an important question of how God's plan of salvation works. But to answer the question, I actually want to step back a little bit. We need to start where the gospel story this morning starts. And we start with Mary Magdalene sobbing outside of the empty tomb. And we have to stay in this moment. Because in the story, this is not just a plot device to set up the delivery of the good news, that Jesus just wipes her tears away and makes it all better. The writer of the Gospel of John is an artist. He knows that every time we read this story, we have to come back to Mary's tears. Because there is something universal about them. You don't have to be a crier to feel the pain of life, though I'm sure all of us have wept at some time or other. We all suffer. We all know Mary's tears. They are a cry against a world not going according to plan. For her, it was her teacher and mentor being killed. The whole plan of the kingdom of God coming and raising up Jerusalem just going right off the rails. The last 3 years of her life being completely wasted. For us, it is about our world not going according to plan. We are still in COVID. Many of us have loved ones who have gotten sick and are suffering. It is about watching the scene, the fragility of our democratic institutions in a way that they didn't seem fragile just a few years ago, and the rising up of a new kind of vitriol in the world. We start with Mary's tears, and we seem to keep coming back to Mary's tears. And then she turns, and she sees someone she thinks is the gardener. She is focused on her grief and pain. And as you know, pain has a way of focusing us down to just the feeling of pain. It can narrow our world to the point where there's nothing left but the suffering. "Sir, if you have carried away his body, just tell me where it is." And then he just softly, and simply says her name, Mary. And for her, this is a moment of revelation. And we need to stop here. We need to understand what it is we're saying when we proclaim resurrection. As I said, this is a moment of revelation. And to understand the significance of this, it is worth pointing out that the Greek word that lies behind revelation is actually apocalypse. Contrary to what many of the movies you may have watched suggest, apocalypse actually doesn't mean the end of the world. Rather, it means an unveiling. The idea is that the truth is veiled and it's hidden, and something has to be cleared away for it to be seen. Jesus says her name, and she sees. She has an apocalypse, and everything is different. But how it is different is crucial to understand. Because in one sense, nothing is changed. Jesus is still standing where he was a moment ago. The leaders of the temple are still in charge, hunting the followers of Jesus. And the Roman Empire still rules over everything. Judas is still dead. Tragedies still happen. People still sin. People still die. In one sense, nothing is changed. But Jesus says her name, Mary. And she sees. She has an apocalypse. And everything is different. This is where we see the importance of Mary's tears. Jesus meets her in that place and speaks resurrection to her. And then she runs and proclaims it to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She is the apostle to the apostles. Why is this so important? Because like the Magdalene, we need to see beneath the surface of things. Resurrection changes everything. But our hearts have to be changed in order to see it. Because resurrection isn't just about a man being resuscitated. It is about God's mercy permeating absolutely everything. Can you see it? Well, let's step out for a moment. Let's step back and look at this through the disciples' eyes. Imagine that you were in their place, Mary and Peter and John. They have been following and learning from Jesus for 3 long years. And what a wild ride it has been. They had seen things they never thought they would see, and they learned things about God they never imagined, because Jesus taught some radical things. He taught that God was not first and foremost a judge, constantly analyzing your every behavior and thought and writing it up on a list to use against you someday. Rather, God is first and foremost a loving Father who wants to love you and to share the meal of the kingdom of God with you. Jesus taught that sinners and wretches are welcome in the kingdom, not excluded. That God freely forgives, and even bigger than that, that God would turn heaven and earth to seek and find his lost ones who had wandered away. Jesus taught us that God loved all people, including, or perhaps especially, those who had been forgotten by the world, the sick, the poor, the lonely, the outcast, the marginal. All had dignity in the eyes of God. He taught that the kingdom of God's mercy and justice is here, right now, among us. He taught, as his own mother put it, that ultimately the strong and the powerful would be brought crashing down, and that at the end it would be the meek, humble, and gentle who would rule the kingdom. He taught that you didn't have to be an amazing saint, but that a tiny bit of faith even just the size of a tiny mustard seed was enough. He promised that the oppressed would receive justice. Jesus said that it was the peacemakers that would be blessed, not the war makers. He taught that God is love. And so when Mary is weeping, and Peter and John are sitting in bewilderment and grief, they are thinking maybe it was all just a lie. Maybe it was just all a fraud. Maybe God isn't love. He's just the judge after all. Maybe there isn't any reason to be humble and loving. The cross just proved that the law of the jungle is the ultimate law of all. Perhaps sin and death are just hard facts of life that will never change. And that's just human reality. It's a hard world. Grace is just a myth. Justice is just a pipe dream. Sir, just tell me where you have laid the body. And the gardener speaks her name. Mary. Why is this an apocalypse for her? Because the resurrection of Jesus, the man standing right before her, healed and whole, this is the vindication and proof that grace is real, that it was all worth it, that God is love and is moving to heal the cosmos and every human heart, that heaven is open, that eternal life is for you, that access to God is free and easy through Jesus Christ, that it is worth loving your crusty neighbors. It is worth forgiving. Grace is real. Love is at the heart of everything. You are saved. God loves you. Yes, you may return to the tears of Mary again and again, because life is hard. But let Christ speak your name in your heart and open your eyes to the truth of the resurrection. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!